if you will, on earthly matters. And we were told to put on the new man, who's the reborn person within us, who has to have his mind set on things above, or that's where we should naturally set our affections. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so it's like putting on new clothing and casting off the old. We're to put on the new. The inner person who puts on the new clothing has his mind set on the things of the Lord and the things that he has his mind looking upward and trusting in God and in the things of God. Look at verse 10. It says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." Verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." It's a clothing of the inner person that all of us should have on a regular basis. And then finally in verse 17, it leaves no doubt here, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And so we can be thankful to the Lord. He's given us this clothing. He tells us what to wear on the inner person. So we can know that in the morning when we get up, are we going to follow after the Lord, or are we going to put our sights on things on the world? You know, it's a good thing early in the morning of every day when you get up to set your things on the Lord and the things of the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to read a little bit of your word. I want to pray to you this morning and just ask for your blessings on this day that I'm going to have, because I want to trust in you today. I want to look to you today and keep my mind fixed and my affections fixed on the things above, not on the things of this world." And God will bless you as you do that. This morning in a message, I've entitled it, "A New Relationship." Yeah, we have a new relationship because of our relationship with the Lord. And when we put on Christ, we understand that relationship to be totally different. But I want to take it to a more, another level, from that personal level to a husband and to a wife. Both, you know, personally, who have been saved and know the Lord, you'll be able to identify those who aren't in that scenario, or you know about those that aren't. But a new relationship for the Christians who are putting on Christ is found in a husband and a wife who have to adjust to this new person in them, in their marriage relationship. And it's such a wonderful, beautiful picture that Scripture paints here. I think it'll be a blessing for all of us that are here. We're going to look at this new relationship and at the characteristics of a husband and a wife according to this new person that we have all put on. Now, look at verse 18 with me, where the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord." And I thought to myself, this is interesting that the women would have to be told this. Women, according to this passage, may have a tendency to reject submission in this type of a relationship. Well, especially if it's a woman who doesn't have her eyes focused on the things of the Lord and her affections on the things above. But if somebody is of the flesh and has their minds fixed on the things of this earth, their tendency will not be to look upward. And then verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Now, why would the Apostle Paul have to tell this church this right here? Isn't there something else he could have talked about? Why did he have to focus on this? Well, I believe men may have a tendency not to love their spouse the way they ought to. And so the Holy Spirit guiding these men pens this in Scripture. And so we're going to look at both of these things, but before we do, let's ask God's blessing on His Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I trust that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to all of our hearts today about this passage of Scripture. And Lord, if somebody's not married today, let them think of this relationship and enlighten their minds to the relationship that you have ordained for a married couple. If somebody's married and they're here today, I ask your blessing on them and their understanding of this passage of Scripture. If their spouse isn't here today, well, Lord, bless them with this wisdom here and the knowledge of your word to help them have a complete understanding of what it means to be a new person, and that they might be able to help someone else with this wisdom from your word. And Father God, I just ask your blessing on the husband and wives that are here today, that you would help them as they listen to this passage of Scripture, as we expound upon it, that they might be blessed and consider these great truths. For I pray in Christ Jesus' name, Lord, that it might be a blessing to your people. In Christ's name, amen. Look at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The new woman, someone who's put on the new clothing that is being talked about here by the Apostle Paul, will submit herself to her husband. And it means to arrange your life, ladies, in submission. Arrange your life, the ruling of it, under your husband, and to subordinate yourself to him. Let your husband be the one that you will obey and subject yourself to his control, his admonition and advice. And we're going to have more to say about this. Don't think, Pastor, that's it. We're going to have a few more things here to say. But it's also this idea of submit. I don't know if you knew this or not. It's a military term. The Greek word is brought out in this sense here, and that we're to do it, ladies, voluntarily. Well, let me think about that. And somebody might be thinking to yourselves, I know, ladies, that this is totally impossible for you to do without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has to tell the wives what they're to do here. Because when somebody's not saved, they're not submitting to God. And when somebody's not saved, they're doing their own thing. They're not naturally going to do what God's Word tells them. They need to be directed. And I know this is an impossible thing to do for the old person. But here in verse 18, this Greek word, like I said, let me try to pronounce this properly, hupotassesthi, is in the present tense, and it means to continually submit. It's not a one-time thing, but it's a continually day-by-day thing, this idea of submitting. And it's an imperative or a command to do so from Scripture. Now, I don't think any of you ladies here are surprised by this, because you've heard it. You've been to church. You've been going to church for a long time. You've heard these things before. So I know that you're not taken by surprise. In fact, turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 3. It's been God's plan all along for the woman to be the helpmeet of a man and submit herself to her husband. Not the other way around. And there's a lot of households that got that all confused. Genesis 3 and verse 16 says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so there you see it right in the first book of the Bible. Now come back to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians. Oh, Pastor, that just means for the younger couples that are in love. And no, it means for all of us, no matter what your age is, this applies. It's not just during your year of romance or 10 years of romance, and then after that you don't have to listen anymore. It's an ongoing command here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And so we see there in order that is given. And ladies, you see that. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. And just go to the right. A couple pages, probably. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 22, where it reads, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as unto the Lord." Huh? What? Yep. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband once in a while." No, it says in everything. It lays it out. This is a pretty strong thing that the Apostle Paul, he told this to the Ephesian church. He's essentially saying the same thing here to the church at Colossae. And then if you go to the right over to Titus, Titus comes right after 2 Timothy. I call it the T books, Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus. They come in that order. Titus chapter 2. And it says here, speaking of the aged women, what they're supposed to be teaching to the younger, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, defrauded, or vilified in some way. And so we get some instructions here. The Bible says for the women to submit to your husband. It doesn't say that you have to submit to other men. It says submit to your own husbands. Now, I bring that out because I think there's been some confusion on this. Some women think all the men, you know, well, they got to listen to everybody, but that's not so. You only have one husband, and he's the one that you're supposed to be submitting to. It's your husband, not somebody else's husband, not another man. Now, I'm talking within the marriage relationship. If a woman has a job, she has to submit to the criteria of her job. That's obvious, but when you're talking about a husband and a wife relationship, the wife is the one who is to submit to the man. And there's no other men involved in this. Once you get married, you fall under the headship of your husband. And you still honor your parents, your father, especially in this case, you honor your father, but you're no longer subject to your father who may want to get involved in your marriage relationship and try to control you. He's out of line if he does that. You see, when a woman marries a man, she submits to her husband, no longer her father. She'll listen to her father's counsel and she'll talk it over with her husband. But she's going to listen to her husband. That's what she's supposed to do. I had there was a lady in the church here many years ago, and her father wanted to get into her business. And her father didn't like the son-in-law all that much. And so he would try to tell the daughter that she knew better, and this is what she ought to do, and back and forth. And she come to me essentially in tears. And I said, "Do what your husband says." Well, she did. That's a good thing. That's what women are supposed to do. You marry your husband and you come under him. I said to continue to honor your father, but you fall under the headship of your husband now. And it's like that with the church. If I tell my wife it's okay to dress a certain way around our house or when she runs errands or how she should dress at different church functions, hey, that's our business. No other men should have anything else to say. And by that way, the ladies either, unless it's something that they've identified that may help that woman not to be embarrassed. But that's our business, what she does. If my wife wants to wear a blue jean jacket to the church, there's no need for another man to comment on and say, you're a pastor's wife, you shouldn't do that. Some people feel they have to say those things, men. You worry about your own wives and let the other men of the church worry about their wives. That's just how it is. Everywhere I've been, that's what it always comes down to. Some men want to control the wives of other men or women in the church. Really, it's hands off. Pastor doesn't want to control any of you women and what you wear in your dress, and I certainly don't want to supersede somebody's husband. What a fool I'd be if I tried to do that. Now, when it comes to the things of the church, as a pastor of this church, I want the ladies of our church as well as the men to dress appropriately here as we are worshiping and serving God. And so, yes, in the choir, I do want those who sing in a choir, those who sing specials, to dress a certain way. It's important that they do that. But I'm not doing that as a one husband to another. I'm doing it as the pastor of the church. And I feel I have that liberty to do that as I oversee this church. But ladies, you're not required to submit to other men. The Bible says submit to your husbands. And lady, that doesn't give anybody the license to be rude to others, and you don't have to submit to call them names or think about them certain ways. That doesn't give you the right to do those things or any other such things contrary to Scripture. You're still supposed to be kind to all others, patient. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 and 31 tells us to be kind to one another, and to be forgiving to others. And we're supposed to be those things. We don't just throw out everything else that we know about other people. You're still supposed to be a Christian woman. And so you submit to your husband. I thought of it this way when I was preparing this message yesterday. To submit to your husband is likened to submission to God's ordained way. And so when you're submitting to your husband, you're submitting to God first and foremost, because without God, without His Holy Spirit, we could not do what the Bible tells us to do. And that's why Paul here so eloquently puts it, you're a new person. You can do this, and now that you're a new person, you have the help of the Holy Spirit, submit. Oh, okay. And so you have your work cut out for you here according to Scripture. Now, in my mind, it's a beautiful thing. It's clothing, it's inner clothing for the woman who wants to please the Lord and have faith in God and show that through her submission to her husband. Now, somebody might be thinking, well, Pastor, that's not what they teach in the school. It's not what we see on TV. Well, obviously. And besides, my mom and my dog, my mom and my dad, my pets are out of it. They have no say in this. But my mom and my dad taught me to be independent. Well, I'm happy for you. You ought to be independent. And you can be within the limits of God's word. Be fully independent and relax and say, you know what? I can really enjoy life now because I am working within God's limits, doing what He says. And really, when you think about it, the limits He gives you is not some box He draws around you. Submission is not a limit. Submitting to the Holy Spirit is a whole opening of a new life that God wants to bless you with. And when you follow Him, good things happen. You won't think of it as restrictions. You will think of it as a joyfulness and a love that God shows you. Well, that sounds pretty practical to me, that perhaps I should be the one who sets things in order in the family because I'm smarter than my husband. I've got a better job than my husband. I know better than him. Because I've been going to church longer than him. And on, the little things go on in the mind, ladies, wherever those come from, maybe just from your friends that you have, they tell you, don't take that from him. You submit to him, what's wrong with you? You're nuts! How many of you have heard that before? That's what they think in the world. And in many places that we go. Some think they're spiritually stronger than their husband as well. And to be frank with you, Pastor, you might say, I don't want to submit to him. Maybe if he would submit to me, things would be better around our home. Really? God's word tells us that if you're a new person and you're putting on Christ, ladies, you're to submit to your husbands. The Bible says to submit to your own husbands. Look at verse 18 here. It says, it is fit in the Lord. And to be fit means it's the proper and right thing for a woman to do in the eyes of God, who has translated you, if you will, out of darkness, as Paul told the Colossians here, into the kingdom of Christ, over in chapter 1 of Colossians in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Once you were in darkness, now you're in the light. Once you dressed a certain way in your inner person there and your affections were on things of the earth and you did your own thing, but now you see the light and your affections ought to be set on the things of God. And your heart ought to be transformed in wearing the new clothing that Christ wants you to wear every day. And part of that clothing is submitting to your husband. It is fit in the eyes of God. Put off the old person's clothes and put on Christ and put on the new person. Do you want a godly relationship in your marriage? Then, ladies, you need to submit to your husband. And just this or that? No. As we read a little bit earlier, in all things is what Scripture says, is the guidance that we get. When you enter into a relationship of marriage, ladies, you, especially the ladies that are saved, and I believe every one of you in here are today, then you enter into an agreement that, you know what, I am a Christian and I need to submit to my husband. Now, this is kind of interesting for our young ladies that may be here, and we only really have one with us today. I won't point her out, but you know, Sheila, if it's in your future and you want that, and God wants that you get married, You listen to what these words are saying, because it's good to be practicing these things now as you submit to the authority of your father in your home. It's good to put these things into practice and please God, and you'll know that the kind of man that you'll be looking for when that time comes. And you'll know that you've been doing what God's word says in your current condition. And this will go for the men as well that are here. And there's only... You know, I'm thinking of young men, one young man, and he's sitting up there hiding. Oh, now he's looking over here. He's listening. And it would apply to him as well. Look at verse 19 here. Paul says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And so, men, we see here that we are to specifically love our wives. The new person, the new Christian who has put on Christ, has this clothing on there, and he's to love his wife. And this is really important. A godly relationship between you and your wife is impossible if you do not love your wife. You have to love your wife. Paul recognized this. He also recognized that in the newness of Christ, in this new relationship with Christ, you ought to have a new relationship with your wife, a daily renewed relationship where you love your wife continuously. And this is no secret in the Bible either. We see that here in verse 3:19. It tells us to love our wives. Let's go back to Genesis, because this isn't a new thing either. Just like with the women, it's no new thing for the men. Ephesians chapter 2, or I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 2. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. That's a close, intimate relationship, isn't it? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so we'll learn something else here. Look at, go to chapter 24, Genesis, in the last verse, verse 67. A lot of verses in that chapter. Verse 67 says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death by his wife, whom he loved." Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 18 says, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roll. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." Now come back to the New Testament. If you've held your place there in Colossians, just go back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 25 of Ephesians. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Boy, the Lord uses the example, the Holy Spirit does, of the church and the husband and the church, the wife scenario. You know, he uses that here. Christ loved the church, and men, we're to love our wives in this same manner. And so don't get yourself up and say, "Hey, you know, I'm the guy in control." No, you aren't. Not in that way. Now, not that you think to yourself that you got something over on her, because you don't have nothing over on her. God has put you in a relationship, and you're to recognize that God ordains that relationship. If you step out of your role that God has planned for you, then you're just messing everything up. Love your wife. Don't think you got something over her, or that you're smarter, or you know how to work around her and all that other kind of stuff. You work together as a husband who loves his wife. And he's not happy, you know. Somebody could really take this out of context and say, "Well, my wife's supposed to submit to me, and she better do it now." That's ridiculous. Hey, I've seen it happen. Look at verse 28 here in chapter 25, or chapter 5 of Ephesians as well. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies," just like we read in Ephesians, in Genesis, they become one flesh. "He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And there's the idea of the church and the love between the Lord. The Lord's building the church up. Men, we ought to build our wives up as our own body. What's good for the wife is good for us. You ever get stung by a bee? Boy, I bet you really took care of that wound. You know, you try to pull the stinger out of it, still in there wiggling. You want to get rid of it. You want to put something on it to make it feel better. You're taking care of your body. Yeah, you need to do that to your spouse as well. That's what the Bible says. We have examples all around us. Now, a final passage. Go with me over to 1 Peter, right after the book of James. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. Chapter James or 1 Peter chapter 3 reads, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let it be that new person who is to be clothed with the things of God," right? "Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." This knowledge here, folks, by the way. "According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." If you don't think of your wife or your spouse for this matter, if you don't think of them as being heirs with you for the blessings of God, you're missing what Scripture blesses us with, this knowledge here that we're in it together. And we're going to be blessed together for our efforts as we work together in our marriage to honor and glorify the Lord by following what God's Word says. And so, as you can see, men, our wives must have our love. You want a godly relationship with your wife? Love your wife. That's what this says to us. Then love her continuously. "Preacher, you don't know my wife. She's rude, she's snobbish, she's short-tempered. And she's a big crybaby, and she's so demanding," and on and on and on. I've heard it all, trust me. Many men feel that way about their wives. And I say to myself, and I say to you, men, okay, you're married for better or worse. Despite it, the Bible says, love your wife. It's impossible, I know. But if you're the new person, if you're putting on Christ every day that you wake up, guess what? It is not impossible. In fact, it is possible, and that's why Paul says to do it. The Holy Spirit guided him to put this here. He just went through this whole thing of saying, put off all this terrible stuff and put on Christ and all these things that go with it. And one of those things is that you love your wife. Really? Yep. They had to know. We have to know. This is what God wants us to do. It's important for a person who has put on the new man to love his wife, or he might get himself in trouble. Look at the rest of this verse. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." The old man would have no problems being bitter, would he? I was saved when I was 22. Well, I've been bitter about things in my life. I know exactly what the apostle is talking about here. And he just starts out with a little madness. "Yeah, I'm mad about this, I'm mad about that." Not crazy madness. Well, wait a minute, maybe some are crazy. But it just starts out very small. And then it can grow. And that it doesn't, you don't see it growing on the outside because it's a root, a bitter root growing inside. And then it raises its ugly head at different times. And oh boy, then are you defiled of what's really been going on. You see, that's what bitterness will do. It will manage your life for you. You think you're in control? Not when you're bitter. The old man wouldn't have any problem, and many live their married lives in a relationship of bitterness and disappointment and unfulfillment because they will not love their wives according to the Bible. And by the way, you flip that over for women. Women who will not submit to their husbands can cause a bitterness in their marriage relationship as well that will cause years of trouble. A bitter verbal assault or bitter attitude wounds the marriage relationship. Think of it this way, men. Think of bitterness like a cancer in your life that eats away at your love for your wife and eats away at your marriage that you're trying to build and have the best possible marriage that you can have. Someone once said that there's three stages of marriage, of a marriage relationship: romance, contention, and withdrawal. And being bitter obviously fuels us to contention, and it fuels the oncoming, if you will, of a departure in a marriage, a withdrawal within a relationship. And what mends that, men, is you loving your wives. Love stops that from taking place. Paul says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. He knew what bitter men were. He saw it. And he saw those withdrawals taking place and that shaming that many men will try to do to their wives in a marriage relationship, or the name calling and all the other stuff that goes along with that. That's not loving your wife. And that's not obeying God's word either, by the way. And so, men, we have a real challenge here to love our wives according to God's word. Things once thought to be impossible can become possible when we entertain, receive, and put into action God's word to love our wives. Submitting to the Holy Spirit in us, the very first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So don't tell me it's not possible. You have God's help. Verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture. I ask your blessing upon it to our understandings. Lord, we just want to honor and glorify you. We want to worship you, Lord, regularly. I thank you for your word that this morning that has helped us to come to our knees, so to say, before you, that we might ask for your continual help in this area of our, this vital area of our lives, this husband and wife relationship, and the example that it sets to others. Lord, if there's somebody here today who's been struggling in this area, I pray for that. If it be a man, I pray for him today that you'll help him, Lord, to recognize the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's fruit of love in his life, and to apply that love to his wife continually. Lord, that he might satisfy this portion of Scripture that we've looked at and be blessed as a result, and help his marriage to revive and to be quickened and to be joyful. Father, if there be a woman here today who hasn't been doing what this portion of Scripture has clearly instructed her to do, I pray for her heart, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you might bless the women of our church, that they might submit unto their own husbands, and thereby they are submitting to you. Father, help them to see this as a possibility. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Lord, is faith. Help them to have faith in your word that doing what you say will make it better and work out right. And Father, help both husband and wife to enjoy the fruit of long-suffering in a marriage relationship, but that is necessary. But more importantly, the fruit of love, joy, and peace in a relationship that can be made right through us submitting to do what's right. And we'll give you the praise and thanks for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand at this time.